And now on Tucson Business Radio, let's find out how to be healthy, wealthy, and wise with your host, Karen Fisher.
Good afternoon, people of Tucson and Southern Arizona. This is Karen Fisher, your hostess for our radio show that is done monthly, Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, broadcasting live from the Tucson Business Radio X, which is located in the Stuart Title Studio right off of Broadway. We have one of Tucson's most influential business people as our guest today, and it is Sandy Agdasati. She is the owner of the Farmers Insurance Agency, 30 years, and then she also happens to be very, very involved with the Commercial Real Estate Women of Tucson, Arizona, a huge supporter of first responders, the military, just super involved in all aspects of the Tucson community. So very special welcome, Sandy. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for that great welcome. I appreciate it. I love Tucson, as you know, as you well know.
Yes, she definitely just radiates about the sunsets and the sunrises in Tucson and everything about Tucson. She's just, it's just your child. I mean, you just love, and you've done so much to help so many families and business owners, et cetera. And one of the things that we really want to talk about today is making sure people get protected. We had a conversation the other day about, you know, there's so many things that you can do. You know, there's multiple things. So we're going to talk about that in depth. But first and foremost, tell me a little bit about yourself. I know, but I think the listeners need to know. You've been married to Cam for 86 million years.
40 this week, to be exact.
This is your anniversary?
Yes.
Oh, Scott and I just had our 37th. That's pretty awesome. And you have two amazing sons.
Yes, I do. And they both live in Tucson. One went to the Eller College of Business. I'm very proud of him. And he is a senior systems analyst at the University of Arizona. And my daughter-in-law, who is married to my son, is my office manager, has been with me 16 years, and I am the proud grandparent of Maddox Archer Agdasati.
And Maddox is the cutest kid ever. I mean, some of the things in his antics that I hear, it's just, it's something else. I saw a couple of things from Amber, and she's like, oh dear. You know, so, yeah.
He's going to be a handful.
But that's okay, because if you're an intelligent person and curious and everything like that, it is going to be. That is definitely the truth. But he is so much fun, and I know you definitely your pride and joy. So, well, let's talk a little bit about what is going on in Tucson. So, first of all, in terms of business, I know you're very involved with the commercial real estate industry. If dear listeners ever get a chance to stop by and see Sandy at her office, she's got some of the best pictures ever of her in a hard hat, because it doesn't matter. You're there for businesses. So tell me what you're seeing. And so I would love to know what you're seeing as far as business growth in Tucson, and also some solid advice and counsel of, if you were starting a new business in Tucson, what are some of those things that you need to have on that basic checklist? Let's start with a solopreneur, and then let's talk about partnerships or corporations.
I think the most important thing is to have a really great insurance agent. And of course, I'm going to see that. After 30 years in this business, I have seen a lot of ups and downs in Tucson, and I've seen a lot of different situations. It's really important to have a personal agent that is very familiar with your situation and what your needs are. By having the correct insurance, it's really going to protect you financially and even in the long run, your health. And I have
tell me more about that as far as your health.
Well, if you're making good decisions every day, step by step, you're going to build a good business. You're going to have less stress. And maybe that's a bit of a stretch, but I think that it's really important.
Well, and some of the losses that I know well, there's some of the businesses that I know, people will start their business and they're passionate. Like, let's say, for example, they're wanting to open a restaurant. They could be fabulous cooks and passionate about cooking and absolutely horrible business people. They just, it's like they don't pay attention to the books. They don't really read their leases. And one of the things that's interesting to me is something that is very typical for commercial leases is you may, as a tenant, be responsible for some major equipment at the property. So tell me more about that, like
that's
some
correct.
Of the leases.
I think the best example of that would be a restaurant. And when you have a restaurant, pardon me, you have a lot of equipment in the restaurant. You have tenant improvements. And those are all things that you're going to be responsible for in addition to, depending on the lease, that's why it's really important to have your insurance agent read your lease. Are you going to be responsible for the air conditioning or will the landlord be responsible for it? There are insurance coverages that you can get to insure all of your equipment, plus all of your inventory.
Now, is that a separate rider that they would do?
It or would is be it part of a policy.
Part of a policy.
It would be an option that you could put on a policy.
I find that when I talk to business owners and because it's not just the air conditioning, isn't it sometimes even some plumbing things that they might be responsible?
It could be a walk-in cooler. It could be Ansel system for fire. It gets pretty expensive. It could be up to $500,000 just for equipment and tenant improvements.
$500,000?
That's correct.
Oh, my.
Yep. And it's not that expensive to add that on. The main thing is, with a good restaurateur, they want to be focused on serving their clientele. And my focus is serving them so they can serve their clientele and not worry about the little things.
Well, and that's perfect. And I do think, you know, one of the things that I have talked about a lot on the show, you know, no matter what version of the categories of healthy, wealthy, and wise, is making sure that you have a team. I think it's very important. There's a lot of great resources. One of the best resources that a lot of the listeners are finding out about from me, but there's a woman here in town by the name of Karen Burns. I'm Karen Fisher. This is Karen Burns, and she will help business owners on either a startup or if they're in the process of scaling, if they're in the process of selling. And she is actually funded by a grant through the Small Business Administration. She's housed on Pima County. Karen has been also a dear friend of mine for many, many years, but she's got 35 to 40 years of business banking experience. And we're not talking about a teller who happens to have a, you know, I mean, people could have a business account that's separating it for tax purposes at your bank, but it's very, very different to have a business banker, somebody that you really know. And so one of the things that Karen does talk about at length is getting your basic information reviewed by an attorney, you know, have it done correctly. Make sure you've got all of those boxes checked as far as your insurance coverage. So in terms of the attorney should be looking over your lease, making sure that you understand. Like, it could be fine that the lease says that you're responsible for the air conditioning if it were to go down. And those, you've seen some claims on that. I'm thinking about just one at the house is upwards of $10,000. What are some of these commercial ones? It could be
I actually have
huge.
No idea.
They could be, depending upon what it is, it could be huge.
Well, when you're looking at hospitals, they have a lot of air conditioners on a roof. I have a a commercial property that has a number of air conditioners on top, and that was a $250,000 claim.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What happened to it with the air conditioners?
Hail. It was major hail damage in Phoenix about 4 years ago.
Wow.
Took out all the air conditioners of a major commercial property.
Well, and then think of it this way. If all of a sudden you don't have air conditioning, period, you may not be able to work. Your employees, I mean, depending upon where it is. Yeah, as far as that. So what happens? So let's play it forward. Let's say the air conditioning is gone. And you've got hail damage, and so it's air conditioning's gone. It's going to take some time to get that fixed. Does commercial insurance pay for any type of business loss? Or
yes.
So tell me more about that. Yes. What would that look like?
A comprehensive package will cover loss of income. It will cover a temporary place to set up while you're getting everything fixed, and inventory. So it basically ends up being pretty comfortable situation with the right policy.
Well, and it seems to me that you know, in terms of, unless you've got that depth of experience like you do, looking at all facets of the insurance industry and making sure that, okay, well, you know, A, you either should be prepared to write that check, whatever your liability or exposure might be, and if you, that's what insurance is for, is so that you're not the one writing those big checks.
Correct.
Or literally being put out of business, because that's the other side.
It's a question of transferring the risk from yourself, and a good agent will be able to evaluate your risk. They will be able to evaluate how much of the risk you want to keep for yourself and how much you want to transfer to the insurance company.
So that's a perfect idea. So what, as far as a segue, with what are some of the ways that you can have great coverage and yet reasonable premiums? I mean, the thing that comes to my mind first is the deductible, choosing maybe what your deductibles might
correct.
Be, but I could be, so it is correct. Okay.
Correct. And that would be that your deductible would be the risk that you would accept. And taking it on a more simplistic level, for example, your auto insurance has a $500 deductible or $1,000 deductible, or maybe you don't have insurance on the vehicle itself, only liability insurance. So you are accepting that risk, and we are taking the rest of the risk, which would be the liability coverage.
Got it. Okay. So, and then in terms of the business, so that's property and casualty, a piece of it, and that might be, for example, personal. What about in terms of, as far as business? Let's say you've got a fleet of vehicles, and your employees are driving.
Same difference.
Yeah.
Same difference. Okay. How much insurance do you want on those vehicles? We would insure the vehicle to the value, the current value, and that deductible or lack thereof would be what you would accept.
Okay.
And somebody might say, I don't want to have insurance on my building, even though I own it outright. That's fine. Then you've accepted that risk. But if you want us to rebuild that building for you or that restaurant business, then we accept the risk. You transfer it to us.
Yeah, I actually had a client a number of years ago that came into my office wanting to refinance her home. And I asked her, I said, well, who's your insurance? You know, just let me know who your insurance agent, because we do the request the insurance for mortgagee clause, et cetera, in the lending world. And I mean, literally, my jaw like hit the ground because she said, oh, when I paid the mortgage off, I canceled my insurance. I literally was like hyperventilating in the office because I could not believe that she thought that she only needed insurance. I mean, she needed insurance more with the property owned
correct.
Free and clear versus the other way around.
Correct.
It was amazing. And I will tell you, she was... I would say she is an educated woman. She'd actually college graduate, et cetera, et cetera. But educated, and you know, there's also that ignorance. She was ignorant of the fact. I mean, for her, she just thought that she had to have the insurance because it was a requirement of the mortgage company. No, it's the mortgage company wants to make sure the collateral is still there because they're lending you money on that. But the insurance is really for you. And that's why we don't pick the insurance agent for our clients. We tell them we need a policy, has to meet these criteria. but it is 100% up to the client to decide what company they're going to work with and who their insurance agent is. And I always have found, whether it's an insurance agent or an attorney or me as a loan officer or a realtor or whatever the case may be, I think it's really important to be face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball, where you can actually really see them and know them and understand that if you've got a challenge, you can reach somebody. But one of the things that I think is great is that you've got the best of both worlds. Yes, you're here local, here as an agent, but as good as you are, you do sleep. Okay. And so
a little bit.
Yeah, you do. And that's where you've got that 800 number, that if there's something that happens, you've got the whole backing of Farmers 24/7. Behind you, 24/7 there to take care of anything that's necessary.
A number of my clients also have me on speed dial.
Oh, well, there you go. So, okay, there you go. Yeah. So,
and my staff is also very good. They have 27 years of combined experience between the two of them. And it is really important to have a good agent that is going to be willing to do the deep dive into your needs.
Well, and I think it's really important and also asking the questions, because one of the things that I know about Farmers as a company is that you guys offer discounted rates for first responders. As well as
military,
teachers.
Correct.
What else?
We've also got discounts for scientists, engineers, teachers, you already mentioned. Those are the ones that come to accountants.
Oh,
as well.
That's very interesting. I didn't
know
that.
Another professionals that really have our back in life, and we realize that they're very busy at what they do, and they're giving back a lot to the community, and it's our way of giving back to them.
That's huge, because that's one of the things you know about the I brought the Our Neighbors Are Heroes program to Summit Funding.
Fantastic program. Yeah,
it's still going. It's it's real dollars. There's since 2010, there was a change in the mortgage industry, the way loan officers get compensated. And so it used to be kind of like a shell game where they can move things around. But now it is what it is. And it doesn't matter what type of product that you choose. Like there's no skin in the game for any loan officer. I don't get paid more on an FHA, VA, or a conventional loan. It's all the same across the board. So loan officers' compensation is not tied to the loan product. That is true now, but prior to 2010, that was not true. And that's part of one of the things that they identified during the mortgage meltdown was that there were a whole bunch of really creative with a parentheses around that, unscrupulous is what I want to say, mortgage products that were out there that were very, very risky to the consumer. And some unscrupulous loan officers were placing them into those products because those loan officers got paid more, even though they could qualify for better products. And it's a big part of why the mortgage industry we almost took down the world economy. We brought it to its knees.
Yes,
is what we did. It was bad. And so going back to the Our Neighbors Are Heroes program that we created, it took a year for me, along with our legal team at Summit Funding, to talk to the Arizona Department of Financial Institutions and explaining to them why first responders should be, if you will, eligible for this $500 closing cost credit, whether it's a refinance or a purchase transaction.
And I know you worked really hard on that.
It was a year.
Personally, I know.
It was a year for that to take place.
And thank you for that.
Yes. And now that they have that, one of the things that happens is we also have locally title insurance companies, Stewart Title being one, Title Security being the other, that also offer first responders discounts. So it's very significant, but sometimes people don't know what's available, so they don't ask. Mm-hmm. And I think on the insurance piece, and this is really the reason I'm really having you and I really wanted to focus on you as a guest today, is because I have seen just devastating loss recently in several places. Another piece is I have a friend of mine who owns a wonderful restaurant. He brought in a business partner. Business partner was a phenomenal person. They were, as they say, cooking with gas, doing very, very well. His partner got diagnosed with cancer and just this week passed away.
Oh.
But in the meantime, he has had to, his partner had invested in the business, and in order, and he paid him back instead of, there's another option, and this is critical for people who are in business. Let's say it's a husband and a wife that happened. We've got a lot of mom and pop, they call them businesses.
Correct.
They, like, why he didn't have from his insurance agent that counsel that said, if you have a key employee, so let's talk about that key employee life insurance.
Buy-sell agreement.
Buy-sell agreement. So explain to people, because we've got people that are just opening their businesses, what that means.
That's a very good point. Thank you for bringing that up, Karen. If you go into business with someone and your partners.
Even your spouse.
Right.
Or children.
A key person. Mm-hmm. It could be a key person or a partnership. It's really important to decide how you're going to buy that person out. For example, in the sad case of your friend, who is going to be his partner now? Will it be the partner's wife, or does he just take the loss? If it's mm-hmm. a partnership, then he's going to have a non-working partner. If there were life insurance in place, for example, just take it out a little bit further for a client that comes to mind, five people in a corporation on the board of directors, they all have life insurance policies. If one of them passes away, that portion of the money can buy out that person and they do not become the partner of a spouse or a child or whoever's next in line in the
in the estate piece, because all
it's
of a sudden,
safety net.
Yes, you could all of a sudden, depending upon someone's estate, you could all of a sudden find yourself in business with somebody who knows nothing about the business,
right.
Or even worse, right. Hates the business.
And then you've got a fire sale. Not to use a horrible pun,
but
you might have to sell the business at a huge discount. Whereas if you have that financial backing in place, we have done those policies. And we can even take it out further to protect people against taxes.
Against taxes.
Right. Taxes in the future we know are going up. They're not going down. So that's another avenue when we talk about health, wealth, and healthy, wealthy, and wise. If you want to keep more of your money in the future, then you put it in areas that are where you're not going to have to pay taxes.
Oh.
And
so
you can do that through Roth IRAs. And if you make too much money for a Roth IRA, you can overfund a life insurance policy. Those are very popular with our professionals, doctors, high net worth people. Can put a lot of money in there and later they can take it out tax-free. Or they can pass it on tax-free.
That's interesting. So overfund a policy. Tell me more about that. That's a term I've never heard.
Okay. That would be where you put money into a life insurance policy. If you put too much money into a life insurance policy, it becomes an investment. Once it's an investment, it is taxed. So you have to have a good agent that can walk a fine line that is able to guide you on putting in the maximum amount without being taxed on it down the road.
Interesting.
So,
and then I think you work in tandem with a lot of our CPAs also
correct.
Around town, you know, doing the right thing.
Correct.
Yeah.
Really important because when I'm not here in 30 years, I want to make sure that that money, that was hard-earned money for my customers and maybe even their parents or their parents' parents, is going to the right place. So we're very careful how we place those monies. And then as a generational agency, I have my office manager, who does happen to be my daughter-in-law, working side by side with me.
So that's, I mean, that is just huge. So let's, just because you've seen so many things as far as with business, so what do you see as happening within the Tucson business growth? What, I know in terms
of business.
It is
nothing short of exciting. It's almost meteoric compared to where we were before.
Isn't it funny?
I mean, you see
dry flats everywhere.
It's great. People are really wanting to move here. People are moving here.
Business. I mean, we're in love with Tucson, but why do you think that is? What do you think is attributing that that success? Because the big change that I've noticed just recently, it's not just and yes, these are solid good businesses and they're important, but it's not just the big call centers that are coming. We're bringing in like Caterpillar and some of the other very high tech, high paying jobs in Tucson. So
we've got some hardworking people.
Yes.
We've got some very hardworking people. The Rio Nuevo Project, Mark Urban, that whole group, they're working hard. Californians are getting fed up with the taxes, and we are seeing a lot more California money coming in here.
I can definitely attest to that. I have a client who has been in Northern California for a very, very highly successful real estate agent for 35, 37 years, somewhere in that range. She and her husband are absolutely liquidating everything, doing it through 1031 exchanges. So if you've got investment properties, you don't want to all of a sudden get kicked in and get taxed as ordinary income. But they just bought three fourplexes in Prescott Valley.
Nice.
And they are literally selling everything that they have in California. One of the things that she talked about is both in this part of California that she's in, and then they had another property in Portland, Oregon. Both of those communities have enacted rent control. She says the math, it's just math. It doesn't pencil out.
Well, I think beyond that, there are certain things about our community that you can't really put a price on. It's just a culture here. It's a big city, but it feels like a small city, and it's very unique. I am from San Francisco personally, and I love it here. It's just different. It's very different. It's very unique, and we kind of march to our own beat, which is it has been not always a positive, but yes, it definitely is now.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, one of the organizations that I'm involved with, and I think you know the founder, which is Desha Bimers, is 100 plus women who care of Tucson. Mm-hmm. And it was really funny. We just had our last big give. Amazing, amazing. What it went to candle lighters this time. And they are a foundation for helping the families and the siblings of the children that have been diagnosed with cancers. And you can't even believe, and the woman who presented and talked, I don't know how, she is still so involved in the community and everything like that. Her son was diagnosed and then later on passed away after about a 9-year battle with cancer. And I just think to myself, wow, she is truly giving back. I mean, it's been about a decade.
Very caring community.
Yeah. But Desha was told when she was first looking at starting a chapter here that it would probably take about 2 to 3 years before we would get 100 people at the event. And she's like, gosh, I don't know. Everybody I'm talking to, it doesn't feel that way. I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's going to take that long. The very first meeting, there were 167 people there.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that is Tucson. Tucson is a very giving, genuinely caring community. And the it is amazing to me to just watch what we do when, you know, when we, as a group, just in a very not stylish, we're not putting it up on, you know, some, it's not for ulterior motives. It's literally just
the right
a group
reasons.
Of people coming together and making huge, huge impact. Yeah.
Well, before we run out of time, I'm going to just circle around
yes.
a little bit about what's really special about Tucson. We have a huge, huge military community here. And what is so unique about them, talking about people that live kind of below the radar and are doing everything, watching our back and give their life for you, even though they don't know you. We have 13,000 airmen at Davis-Monthan. In addition
13,000.
To that, 13,000.
Wow.
Okay, that those are families and I mean that doesn't even those are just the airmen. In addition to that, we have the Air Guard, the 162nd Wing, which has the largest amount of F-16 planes in the world.
I did not know that.
We
I knew they had a lot, but the largest
the
amount.
The largest in the world.
That's in.
We
okay.
train 29 countries, and that is. Just a huge operation. As a guard unit, the guardsmen live and work in the community. They don't live on base. They're about 2,000 at this point there, and they are key to our security. And these airmen, just that you don't even know who they are. They're very humble about what they do. They're getting the job done. They're taking care of us. They're working very hard right now.
And oh, yeah, I can imagine.
Anything
yeah,
we can do yeah. to help them is we're very, very supportive of the military in this city.
Yes, we are. And it was interesting. Years ago, I had we met. There was an event, Women Impacting Tucson. There was an event that we did with former Mayor Beth of Bob Walkup's wife, Beth Walkup, did these monthly luncheons, and they would just invite people to talk about and share about what's happening in Tucson. And we had the base commander come at that time. And what was shocking to me is how he said that, you know, Tucson's very welcoming, like integrated, very, very supportive. But what he told me, which was just heartbreaking, is that in many of the communities and other parts of the nation, they are not. In fact, they're almost treated with hostility. And he said, it's not just one way. It's a two-way street. But Tucson's got it figured out. We have embraced our military, and the military has embraced us. It is like I do a lot of VA loans. We actually have delegated authority by the Department of Veterans Affairs to underwrite VA loans in-house. Like I don't have to go and send it to someplace outer space, if you will. But
that's fantastic.
No, it's huge. It's
because they're busy. They're doing a job, and they do not need the extra aggravation.
No,
they need
they don't.
All the support they can get. And thank you for that.
Yes, and so interestingly though. It's also the number of veterans that at one point in time, they might have been stationed at Davis-Monthan or even Fort Huachuca, and they come back after they separate from service, and they're back in Tucson. They're back in southern Arizona, which is, I mean.
They're retired
yes.
here. They're part of
absolutely.
The community, part of the economy, part of the culture.
Yes,
that
no,
makes it so it's special. Been,
yeah, it really, really does. And they actually, the people that are active duty and they're at the base and the volunteers, it's also amazing the amount of volunteer hours that, in addition to everything that they're doing as far as their job with the military and their actually superhero day jobs that they're doing, it is amazing how many hours, and we're talking hundreds, if not thousands of hours that even, you know, that both the 162nd and Davis-Monthan just gently apply back into our community from you know, right now, back to school supplies, school drive,
right,
to food bank, to helping the widows. And I mean, it's just, it is just
families, the children,
families. Yeah.
They all serve.
Yes. They really do.
We do embrace them, and thank you for your service out
yes,
there.
Yes, men and women, and all the families, because it's the families themselves, and it being a part of the military, it's truly a family affair. That's for sure. So, one of the things, I just got a little motion from Mark, and he said one of the advice and counsel that I have is to let people know about what I do. I know in terms of farmers, people know, like, kind of fuzzy, that I am a mortgage loan originator, but they don't know what that means. So behind the scenes, I've been a loan officer now since March of 2000. So I'm into my 20th year of being a loan officer. But prior to that, I don't know if you know this, prior to being a loan officer from 1983 until 2000, now it's my turn to cough. I was a realtor. I was an associate broker. I was a branch manager, and I own my own real estate firm. And as a realtor, I actually did the very first FHA short sale in the state of Arizona back in the 80s. Because at that time, they're like, no, no, no. They just foreclosed on it. No, no, no. We foreclosed. And, you know, that was another downturn. That was the savings and loan crisis that, you know, really hit Arizona hard. And I'm like, this is illogical. I'm a numbers geek through and through. Numbers I love. And I could sit there and I could see when people needed to do a short sale. It was almost always medical. Medical or death is what was triggering the financial disaster. And which is interesting, because those both could have been prevented by insurance.
Yes.
They wouldn't have had a disaster, but they did.
Disability insurance.
Absolutely.
Life insurance.
Disability medical. Or life insurance, yeah. And I think part of the thing is maybe some people don't want to talk about those things. Like, if they don't talk about it, it won't happen. It's so funny, you know, like, you pretend like death isn't going to ever happen. So you never get your financial plan in place. You never get your will, your trust, just your basic, you know, now that you're a grown up, documents. You know, so it's interesting.
Well, you have a great background for what you're doing now. You come from a related field, and you've built on it one step at a time.
Well, and that's true, but the funny part about it is that although I was on the real estate side of the equation, I was still always doing financing, because when I started in real estate, interest rates were 16%.
I remember that.
They just dropped to 14.5%, and in the newspapers it said 14.5%. 30-year fix was the best we would ever see in our lifetime. So if it's in the newspaper, it must be true, right? You know. Mm-hmm. So here we are. I mean, I just closed a transaction for a young couple today. They're in the threes as far as their interest rate. It's super exciting. But, you know, back to as far as everything that's going on, one of the things that happens back in those days is that everything we did was creative financing. We literally people were not borrowing money at those rates. It just was, mathematically, it was impossible. Even though the house prices were, like, the average price was probably around $70,000. So everything we did was seller carry back. We did wraparounds. They were legal at the time to do wraparounds, notes, deeds of trust, servicing agents. So I would literally, you know, it took one page to list the property on the market for sale through real estate, one page to list it, one page to sell it. And we were handwriting. We would write the instructions for the notes and the deeds of trust and everything to be created with the title company. So I really was always in financing. What the reason I got into the lending side of it is that I've always been the numbers person. That's the piece that it is. Like, I was never the person who would walk into one house or the other. If it's the same floor plan, one would be all decked out, beautiful. The other one would be, you know, scratch and dent type of thing, but so much less. But same floor plan, same bones. I would always go to the one that was scratch and dent, same floor plan, because I was never although it's important to have those aesthetics, I always saw beyond that. I'm like, it's only going to take $5,000 to fix this up. And you're asking $30,000 over here more. But they would get the $30,000 because so many people cannot visualize what the home would look like once it's fixed up. Speaking of home and of things like that, you yourself, in addition to being a farmer's insurance agent, you and your family, you've invested in real estate in Tucson.
We've done a little bit.
A little bit, you know, as far as that.
And I think that's important because I understand the piece when people come to me and they're investors, they want to do 1031 exchanges, they're landlords. I think it's really important to have skin in the game.
Yes.
And understand really, really the back end of what you need to know to protect your customers.
Well, let's say somebody wanted to get into investing in real estate. What are some of the important coverages that, okay, you've got an opportunity to purchase real estate now. Maybe you're going to convert your existing primary residence to an investment property. What are some of the things that the owner of that property, they're now going to become landlords. What are some of the things that they need to take into consideration?
If they're going to change their primary residence into a landlord policy, they need to get a different kind of policy altogether, which would be a landlord policy.
So then the landlord policies, as far as liability?
Liability is the big issue. That's kind of the big item in the background that you really want to make sure you've got enough liability insurance. And that applies to your business, to your auto, to your home. Whatever liability coverage you have needs to be at least equal to your net worth and some.
That's a good rule of thumb. Okay.
So
at least equal. But if you've got negative net worth, you better have it even more, maybe. Sometimes.
Well, you can't get nothing out of nothing. Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it. But got it.
Okay,
but you really need to protect what you have. If you're a student and you don't have anything, you know, nobody's going to get anything out of you.
But they could sometimes.
Oh, it could be ugly.
Yeah, it could be really ugly. Yeah. I've seen where they've gone after the parents, even though.
I've got to be careful with that.
Yeah, you got to know. Yeah. You need to have
just
it reviewed.
Just forget what I just said.
Oh, no,
just forget
just,
that.
Yeah, you
that
need to
review
it.
That was a poor analogy.
Yeah.
But basically, you really need to be aware of your liability issue and make sure you've got enough liability. If you have a house with a swimming pool, make sure you've got at least $1 million umbrella.
Well, and that's a separate policy that's also a lot of people don't realize is to be able to have that separate umbrella
just
policy.
Pennies on the dollar.
It is. It's the least expensive. Yeah, it definitely.
On top of whatever you have.
Yes.
You need to take a look at who's going to be renting your home. Make sure that they're properly vetted. I'm a firm believer in hiring a company to manage a property management company. Because they know the ropes, they know how to properly check people's credit and vet them, make sure you're not going to have problems down the road. And if one comes up, then you're not going to be dealing with that problem, which could become dangerous. You never know.
It could become dangerous. There are so many things that can happen. I know of a client that, to make a long story short, they had moved in a girlfriend, and the girlfriend's alive, but he passed away. And you should have seen what it has been like trying for that client to get the girlfriend out of the house when she wasn't on the utility bills. There was no lease. She was basically a squatter, but it literally took going to probate court to be able to have the legal authority to get her out of the house. It was a mess.
That is a mess.
Yeah.
That's about the worst case scenario.
It was just unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the other thing is, and this is actually the benefit of insurance.
Correct insurance.
I had a friend of mine who owned a 12-plex. You know, pretty, you know, 12-plex is, you know, that's a lot of units, right? To make a long story short, one of the tenants had some emotional issues and set fire on the electrical thing, and four out of those 12 units were damaged by fire and smoke and water because the sprinklers went off and everything like that. The biggest gift that she gave to herself, and also just as far as the family, and with correct advice from her agent, was the rent loss insurance.
Lots of rents.
So she looks back on that, and if she had not had that, she's like, I don't think we would have financially survived, because they ended up, you know, yes, the insurance did. There was vandalism. There was some issues going after. They had to go after. The tenant themselves didn't have any money. So they had actually gone after they ended up having to go after the tenant's agency who had placed them in the property. It was kind of complicated. But the fact of the matter is, the whole time as they were rebuilding those four units, because as the landlord, if the unit gets destroyed, you're responsible for providing alternative housing for your tenants in most of the cases in the Arizona Landlord Tenants Act.
So it gets sticky. Something else that I just had come up actually last night with a very large complex, 360 units I insure. Mm-hmm. You need to make sure that the insurance that you have has remediation on the policy. In other words, if you have asbestos or lead, you need to make sure that whoever your insurer is going to remediate that. Important coverage, and not all companies do. So
now, is that only available on commercial policies?
No, say you have a condominium, mm-hmm. and there's an overall policy on the condominium, but you're responsible for the interior. If something happens, your policy will take over.
Got it. Okay.
And that policy needs to have that remediation on it.
Wow. Okay.
And not all companies do that.
Not all companies have it. Mm-mm. So would that also be on just a regular plain vanilla homeowner's policy too?
No, not necessarily.
I mean, but available.
It's with the right company.
With the right company available.
Correct.
Okay. So not just commercial, could be.
This would just be a personal, mm-hmm. personal. My company does cover that if the HOA, the homeowners association, is responsible through their policy. We're really getting into the
some details, but there's still some things to really look into and to understand what that is, because
so if you own a condominium, have a long conversation mm-hmm. with your insurance agent.
Well, and I think a lot of one of the things that I see happen when people are purchasing condominiums or properties that have attached walls is that they're like, oh, the association pays for my insurance, but it doesn't. That's not necessarily the case. It's not necessarily the case that it's paying. So a lot of times, we need to get what's called in the mortgage world, it's called an HO6 policy, which
right,
you're very
correct.
Familiar with. But it's basically from the walls in.
Correct.
And so what they don't realize is that the association may have insurance in place, but that's going to cover the outside building of it. But it's not going to necessarily.
You're going to have a shell.
It's not going to cover your cabinets, your carpet, any of your personal belongings.
And the big one, your liability. Mm. Let's say you cause accidentally the loss. You forget a candle's burning mm-hmm. or you forget the water's on and it leaks and it damages a lot of units. You personally, as the owner of that unit, are going to be responsible for that loss.
That's funny that you said that, because I remember there was a friend of mine who had a property in California. It was a two-story condominium. The upstairs neighbor, that they didn't know, the upstairs neighbor was out of town on vacation.
Uh-oh.
And there was a water valve, some type of connection that broke in that upstairs unit, filled the upstairs unit, seeped down through, and then filled her unit, and it was a mess. I mean, her getting, I mean, it literally just she
we
everything
see those,
it ruined
we see
all the
those
time.
Every day,
every day.
I hate to say
no.
it, not every day, but,
yeah,
but I mean, yeah. na- yes, you know, yeah. on a national basis.
On a national basis. Yeah. It's really wild. Well, and I think we're getting kind of close on our time, but in conclusion, that there's a couple things that I want to do. This is the big piece that I have for anybody that is if you're either in business, getting ready to open a business, you know, whatever phase you are, because for all businesses, you've got a certain number of phases. You've got your startup, you got your struggle. Anybody that thinks that it's all, you know, cookies and milk, it's not going to happen, right? You're going to have struggles because you're learning, you're doing things, right? So
entrepreneurial mindset.
Yeah. So startup, struggle, success. You get a little success. Okay, we got this. Then scale is the next phase. And then the fifth phase, and I don't care what business you're in, is sell. There's things to think about. Okay, what's this going to look like when it's all done? What is the legacy I want to leave? What is the community that I want to serve? What is my mark on that? Because the reality is there's lots of insurance agents out there. There's lots of loan officers out there. But what is it that we're doing that, like, I know for a fact that you are doing not only do you have a generational company because of your daughter-in-law, Amber, working with you and everything else, you actually also have a generational business, as do I. Everybody says that with you having your dear little grandson, they said, you know, kids are great, but grandchildren, that's the best, right? And when you are getting referrals from your clients to their grandchildren, you know that you have really you've wowed them. And I know that that happens for you, as you know, it happens for me, it happens for you. That's what personally drives the both of us.
Right.
And with your permission, can I share the story of how we first met all those years ago?
Why not?
Okay. It was really, really funny. I was at that time, I was still a loan officer, but at that time I was also the managing director for the Tucson chapter of eWomen Network. And one of the passions that I've always had was flowers at our event. So I was at the flower shop, which is Roses and More off of Craycroft and Speedway. I'll give them a plug right now. I was over at Roses and More. And I was getting my flowers, and you were getting flowers. As it turns out, you were getting flowers for your staff. And you and I looked at each other. We're about the same height or lack thereof. And I'm like, well, what do you do? He said, oh, I'm a farmer's attorney. Who are you getting flowers for? I'm getting flowers for my staff. I'm like, that's cool. And you asked me, who are you getting flowers for? I said, I'm part of this networking organization for women, and it's my gift to the people that attend these events. And that is how we connected. And do you realize, I was thinking about this, it's been over 7 years now.
That's a magic number.
It was so funny because just the two of us. And I remember your words, because you've said this to other people, that it really, like, you will honestly say this. You go, I like you. And I'm like, I like you too.
We need to get together. There was a spark. There was a click there.
And I do think that heartfelt business of people really being extremely smart and knowing their craft. Like, you don't become an expert in insurance or mortgages or anything. They say that it takes 10,000 hours to become
an
expert.
There's a lot of working parts.
Yes, there are.
And the way you have built on your business, you are a realtor, you have a strong background in the mortgage business. I also have a background in HR, and before that,
legal. That's huge.
So build on that.
Yes. Well, and I know you're very involved with the SHRM group here, too.
I have been,
yeah. And as far as that, tell me about your legal background. I knew about the human resources.
That was a while back.
Oh, for all of us.
That was my first job out of college. I thought I wanted to be a lawyer. And I went to law school for a year, decided I was going to work for a lawyer and become a lawyer by working for the lawyer. You can do that in California.
Oh, that was interesting.
Actually decided I didn't think I liked the legal field so
much.
Oh,
okay.
I really wanted more face-to-face contact with people rather than being in a library.
Got it. Okay.
I moved on, became a paralegal. In insurance defense work and subrogation, and actually work for the attorneys that wrote the workers' compensation laws originally.
Oh, my gosh.
Way back when. First job out of college. And so I have a strong background in workers' comp and just kind of built on that. Got into HR from there and decided either be a lawyer or be a paralegal. So became became an HR manager. And from there, I ended up with...
Now, where were you an HR manager? Was that in California or in Tucson?
Here in Tucson. Uh-huh.
Okay.
O'Reilly Chevrolet.
Oh, my gosh.
Right.
One of our favorite local-owned businesses.
I know.
They're
it's
amazing.
Great business.
Yes.
Great people-oriented business.
Yeah.
Enjoyed every minute of it. And just stepped on to this... Next.
Well, and I guess maybe I did know it was O'Reilly, but maybe not. Because I think it's more the connection that you had with some of the trade organizations more than the company itself.
Yeah.
It's been
a great ride.
Yeah.
I mean, I wake up every day and I just thank God that I get to do what I love and help people all day long.
And even though you've been in business for a very long time, this is the one thing that I need to share that I think is just so admirable, is that you have a growth mindset of your business. Like you haven't, for your business and other areas of your life, period.
Yep.
You're not sitting there saying that, hey, I got it all figured out. I'm not changing. Like you get excited for change as far as, tell me more. What might that look like? How can I apply that in my business?
Business is never static.
No,
you have
it's not.
To keep either you're all in or you're not.
Well, and I think one of my favorite quotes, those of you that have called in, I leave a quote of the day every single day. Change my voicemail every single day. I've done that for, close to 20 years. And the reason being is that I actually had advice from Zig Ziglar, one of the best business gurus.
The best.
And one of the things that Zig Ziglar said, that anytime something bad happens, say to yourself, that's good. And then go about setting up and finding out what is good about that. Okay, because it's either, you know, it might be a learning lesson, it might be an opportunity, it might be something, a blessing in disguise that you didn't know, like you look back on it later on, you know, like, oh, that's why that happened. And he also said that, and I thought this was just hysterical, it may be Dr. Norman Vincent Peale. I'll double check on that and make sure it gets posted. But the other quote is, even if you're on the right track, you will get run over if you just sit there.
That sounds so much like you, and enjoyed our relationship.
This is fun.
Over the years.
I want you to go ahead and tell people how they can get a hold of you. And you know what? This is the thing. How much do you charge for your insurance review?
Nothing.
You hear that, folks? Zero.
Absolutely.
Just
I
let her look
zero.
It over.
And if you need to review a free review, either I will tell you you're great where you are or make these changes. And if you're not happy where you are, I am actively looking for new business. And we're really reaching out to the military and our first responders, everybody, of course, but especially those who are so involved with the community and so involved with protecting our freedom. It's really important to me that they have somebody behind their back watching them and their families to make sure that they're being taken care of while they're away taking care of us. I can be reached very easily, 881-8000.
It's the best phone number.
Right.
Area code 520 if you happen to be out of Phoenix or something.
Yeah. I'm right dead in the middle of town at Swan and Broadway, big Farmers Insurance side there. And we operate a little bit differently than other companies. We really want to make sure that we've properly evaluated your risk, and whatever comes at you bounces right back to us.
That's a great way of visualizing that. Yes.
Your Tucson agent is my website.
Your Tucson agent. Okay,
correct.
Easy.
And Google me. Google Farmers Insurance.
Yes.
Sandy. Tucson, you'll find me.
Yes, lots of reviews, and I will tell you, you've got the most expert staff. I mean, yes, Amber's your daughter-in-law, but your other staff members too. And your office is really fun.
She's earned her stripes.
Yep. So, yeah, she
and
has.
My bilingual lady has earned her stripes as
well. There you go. So to be able to, she speaks Spanish. And
Crystal's great. She's been with me 10 years.
Is that hard to believe?
Yeah.
That is, yeah.
We're women-owned and operated, always have been.
I love it.
Probably always will be.
Yes. Yeah.
Depending on Maddox.
Yeah, depending on Maddox. That's right. Yes. Well, if you are listening to this podcast and you would like to have a mortgage review, I do free mortgage reviews as well. All right. Well, thank you very much to our listeners for listening to Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. As I said, we are on Tucson Business Radio X, and we are broadcasting live from the Stewart Title Studio. Have a great rest of your day.